Jaye plenty burning. Could you follow, follow you can go.
It is a song done by Victor Thompson, and he's not alone there. He's featuring his The Greatest on that one. It's titled This Year. A beautiful, beautiful song, as it is 11:16. I hope you're good. Good morning and welcome to it. It is In Season with Sake. Let me quickly hear what Mama Maureen has to say this morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Sakia. And to the CCFM listeners, thank you for a wonderful show, Sakia. Have a great day, Mommy Maureen.
Thank you so, so much for tuning in and choosing us this morning. And in the same breath, it's Tuesday, right? So I want to know from you what it is that you are choosing, actively choosing to do or to say today, right? Are you choosing to learn something new, unlearn something new, to be kind, actively to rest? As I mentioned, that I'm choosing to rest today in the Word of God, you know, casting all of my cares unto Him. Let me know on 061-798-1075. And also, if you'd like the link to today's devotion, all you have to do, just let me know and I'll do the things that needs to be done. Right, so the Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, this scripture emphasizes the universality of sin and also more so the need for salvation through faith by grace. Today, we are going to zoom in on the cycle of sin. Now, why is it that we sometimes, you know, find ourselves going around in circles or cycles, repeating the same wrong over and over and over again, even when we know that it is not honoring God? Now, to help us break that down, we are joined in studio by Liesl Snyman, who's not only a mother, a wife, a queen, sister, she's an author, okay, and she's also the CEO, founder, owner of Kintsukuroi Consulting. Welcome, queen.
And I'm a child of God.
She's a child of God to top it all. To top it all. How are you?
I am very well. It's Tuesday, and today I'm also choosing to just be okay.
Sure.
I like what you're saying, you know, choosing to rest today. I'm just choosing to be okay. It's been a long year. And so I'm grateful that I can say I'm okay, and God has been so faithful to this moment.
Sure. Amen. That is beautiful. Today, yet another important topic, deep topic, cycles of sin.
Yesterday.
We might not want to hear all about that, but we need to chat about these
things.
And to open it up and to kick things off, what has your experience been with the cycle of sin?
Sure, Sake. I can talk so much about cycles, particularly in my own life. For me, whoever has read my book and who has sat in some of the testimonies that I've shared, if I look back on my life, there were some clear moments where I was caught in various cycles of sin. And I say cycle because a cycle obviously can be defined as a series of events that are regularly repeated in the same order. So for me, for years, just to give some context to the readers, for years, but more so after the divorce of my first husband, my children's father, I was caught in the cycle of seeking for my identity in my companionship with guys. And I need to speak openly about it, because otherwise how are we going to identify the cycle or possible cycles of sin? So for me, it was always a case, after the loss of one partner, the void was quickly filled with another person. And I did not give any thoughts of risks or my future, how it affected my behavior, what people thought of me. And in between those cycles of, you know, companionships, I also had those unhealthy financial habits that occurred, because obviously I needed to support the need of wanting to be with the wrong crowd and wanting to be part of the in crowd. There was also a cycle of frivolous social behavior, you know, where I was just like, I didn't regard myself as somebody worthy, and my actions clearly spoke about you know, how much I thought about myself. And then more than that, there were various moments where I just dishonored my temple, which is our body. Mm-hmm. So in between those moments, because I was born in a house where Christ was the foundation, I had various moments where I would connect with God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, anybody who's listening today, whenever you connect with God, you get that moment where you feel deep remorse for everything that you've done. You're absolutely tearing up. Anyways, so just feel like a deep remorse for the things that you have done wrong. And in those moments, I would then repent. And you repent and you live in that moment of bliss, you know, feeling God's love and, you know, feeling worthy in that moment. Mm-hmm. But then I would sin again. And in the sinning again, it always started with a thought. A thought that reminded me of something that I did in my past. And it was either by my own thought being alone or by whoever I was in company with. So that law of association is a crucial thing when it comes to cycles. So then I would sin again. And in once I sinned again, every time I sinned again, then I found myself in a gigantic wave of guilt. That's the only way I can describe it. Because now I've experienced God's grace, sinned again, and sin comes in various shapes and forms. It can be sin against your body, sin against a covenant that you've made with the Lord, sin in your thoughts and what you think of other people. Sin is sin. The Bible tells us what sin is. So then once I've sinned, I found myself in those gigantic waves of guilt. And as the guilt swelled over my mind and, you know, just thinking of what God has done, I then went through that same old cycle of what happens after sin? Shame, guilt, not feeling adequate, not wanting to even worship the Lord because you don't feel adequate. But similarly for me, I think whilst it was maybe just happening in the relationship side of things or the companionship, it also tickled over to my finances and either my relationship with my body. And the more it happened, the less worthy I felt. So for 15 years, Queen Sake, for 15 years, I was just riding that wave of the tsunami that started. We need to know where it started. It started for me when I was 15 years old and I fell into sin. And at the age of 16, I fell pregnant. So I was living my life on repeat and not really living my life for Christ. So I can say the cycle of sin, if I look back on how it happened, was, I want to just describe it properly, because once you sin, you feel guilty about the sin, right? Mm-hmm. And then you experience that moment where you encounter God and then you feel the overwhelming forgiveness of your sin. Mm-hmm. And then for a while you feel free from sin, but there's a matrix in your mind that I need you to create, because when you release or forgive yourself from the sin that you've done and you feel free from sin, there's a spiritual high that you're in. The minute you fall into sin, you go below the midline of that matrix. So that is where the condemnation happens, and that cycle happens over and over again until you repent again. And for me, it was like that for years, and it was not really loving. I was really just existing in what the enemy thought he was going to take my life out with. So the cycle of sin is definitely real.
Sure. Thank you so much for sharing that, firstly. And, you know, for the one who's listening, how do we then ensure that we recognize our pattern, right? You mentioned that sin is a series of events that are regularly repeated in the same order. How do we ensure that we recognize that pattern or that order and also not make the same mistakes?
That's such a deep question. So let me try and answer it adequately for everyone that is tuned in. I think for myself, my pattern, Sake, was rooted in the story that I was telling myself. I was telling myself, I'm okay. Nobody knows what I'm doing. And in any case, I'm not good enough to be used by God. So it was that sin always happens in private. Nobody sees it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's that private sin which the whole world condemns openly, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So for a long time, I covered my sin or my shame as a way to make myself feel better. Blaming others, drinking, finding another relationship, you know, being under the influence of substances.
Yeah.
That's how I covered and also silenced the thought that came into my mind about, listen, this is wrong. You can't live your life like that, because we have a spiritual conscience if you have learned about God.
Mm.
When you have learned, the spiritual conscience will come and, you know, tell you that is wrong.
Mm.
So just using my own life as an example, I would say the patterns that I would like to highlight to everyone that's tuned in today is, you know, the minute you start building up defenses, telling yourself and others that you're okay, when you know that you have not been delivered yet.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to pause there. We know we have not been delivered yet if we do the things in private.
Yeah.
So using the example of, you know, when you sin against your temple, when you do things that is not worthy of honoring God, so then you know that is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So we shouldn't build a defense, because then it means you have a cycle that keeps on coming back. And the minute you have a cycle, you are open. And when you open, the enemy has power over you. The second thing that I saw in my own life was that unhealthy self-thoughts that I have.
Sure.
Shame always told me that I was not enough. Liesl, you will never be enough. And because I couldn't handle what shame was telling me, I self-medicated. I'm going to call it self-medicated with sexual immorality.
Mm.
I want to call it as it is now, because we need to offend the sin, man.
Yeah. Yes.
For too long, we've kind of covered it up and sugarcoated. Mm-hmm. And sexual immorality was the thing that caught me in that cycle. Sexual immorality with a person or against my own body.
Mm.
You know, and substance abuse or the wrong crowds, blaming everyone else and not seeing your own wrong. And so the list goes on and on. And then the third thing that I need to highlight as a pattern is that temptation and resistance. So we need to know the circumstances that makes us succumb to temptation.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, Sake, if we treat sin lightly, you know, like it's just like it's a walk in the park, it is as though our own human effort, we think our own human effort will be enough to control it. But sin is, it was sent out with the intention to rob us from life and life in Christ. So we need to understand that our wrestle is not against flesh and blood.
Come on.
The word says that, eh? So in order for us to conquer, we need to become strong in faith and in our spirit, man. And that is what needs to grow. Because otherwise, if temptation comes and you don't know how to deal with it, you will succumb. And then again, you fall into the act of sin. You need to know what are those moments that tempt you, that places you in a position where you dishonor God and you dishonor your body and you fall into that cycle again. And again, in order for us to fight the cycle of sin, we need to become strong in our spirit, man. And I want to read Romans 8 verse 1.
Uh-huh.
To four, because I think for anybody who's caught in sin, who needs to renew their mind, you know, read Romans over and over again until you believe what the word of the Lord is saying. And for me, Romans 8 verse 1, I mean, the whole Romans 8, but 8, 1 to 4 was so pertinent for me, myself. It starts with, and we know this, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, says here, the flesh is weak. God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of a sinful flesh, on account of sin. He knew that we're going to be struggling with sin, and he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, but according to the Spirit, not according to the flesh, which means we need to feed our spirit man when we see these patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And when our spirit man is fed, we become stronger and we fight it the way it needs to be fought.
Sure. That is powerful. Lisa, now you've, you know, shared so openly in your book, Beautifully Flawed, you know, about overcoming obstacles. How do you then keep yourself grounded, you know, disciplined, and make sure that you don't fall back into those behavior patterns?
I wish it was an easy thing, like just saying repentance, but there's repentance and there's true repentance. For me, I feel that for me, true repentance was something that I experienced over time. I had to learn to repent completely. I had to learn to love myself as Christ loves me.
Yeah.
I started by constantly reminding myself, Saki, after reading the word of the Lord, I started reminding myself of that weight of love that I felt when I encountered him. Mm-hmm. We need to sometimes remind our minds, because sin starts in our minds, right? So when I then stopped hiding my sin, Beautifully Flawed is so much an exposing of the sin, not a dirty laundry type of thing, but it's exposing the sin and offend the thing that wanted to take my life. So the minute I started doing that, you know, and my shortcomings and the shame that I lived in, that is when I started repenting before the Lord. It was no longer about me covering things up and not wanting the world to know. So that is true repentance, when you shouldn't be hiding what the Lord has done. Okay?
Sure.
So and I also then learned that true repentance starts with myself, but it cannot be completed by me. There was no way that I could repent on my own, because it needed to be completed by the Lord, because it's a spiritual battle. So, and I learned for during my process that I was surrounded by traces of sin, and explaining that, you know, it's the things that feels familiar that I used to enjoy when I lived in sin, and I had to learn to address it as it came into my life, as it surfaced. So as an example, you know, soul ties was the one way in which the enemy truly tried to devalue me and what I could become in God. So I had to know my boundaries with men and my engagement with men. For example, private conversations via WhatsApp, messenger service, or wherever needs to stop. Because that was one way in which the enemy lure me in. And I also had to know what, you know, the private conversations, and then there's certain topics that shouldn't actually be entertained with guys for myself, you know, because I identified the pattern. A simple thing, if you listen to a love song in a car alone with a guy that you shouldn't be in a relationship with, and you're both sitting there and you're listening to this love song, you know, the enemy is going to minister to you that you're so much in love with this guy.
Exactly.
Simple example, simple lessons, eh? And then also, if I have to use pornography, pornography is fed by our senses. So if you see, you're feeding your flesh. And the more you see, the more you want, and you're going to try and test it out. So we need to, so for me, with the senses, I needed to unlearn the wrong part of using my senses. And I need to explain this. I want to say it the way I received it. Because pornography, it's what your eyes, you see it, and then you feel, you know, it's your senses are aroused and all of that. I needed to focus my sense to the fact that the Lord is in the room with me. And because it's like when you do wrong, you don't want to do it in front of your parent. And how can I do that wrong if my father's in the room with me? So that then overwhelmed my senses, because I couldn't entertain what the flesh was telling me to focus on. I focused then on what the spirit was telling me.
Yeah.
I hope this is practical advice. So, and because there's no way that you can do the act of sin in front of your father. I'm probably touching on the topic that I've never touched on before, but this is what the Lord is telling me to say. So for me, Queen Sake, it started with a decision. The decision was the thought to do something always starts, for me, I knew that it always started in my mind. And if I did not resist at that level, I knew that it was going to lead to an action. So, and if you are then fighting with that battle and you do the action, because the decision that's followed by the action is going to lead to, possibly lead to the thing that displeases God. And then you need to understand that once you have done the action, there's going to be a consequence to sin. So then you fall back into the cycle. We need to become more mindful and aware of the things that we do that takes us back to what the Lord actually do not want for our lives. So I remembered that, or I remember now that I never wanted to feel like I was not enough again. After I encountered the Lord, and I'm saying the last true encounter that I had with the Lord in 2007, after the second divorce, and my life was really in tatters, I remember sitting there and crying and feeling like I never want to feel like I'm not enough. Because in that moment, I felt like I was capable of doing anything. And I didn't want to go through that cycle again. So I understood then what actions made me feel like I was not enough. And the actions that made me feel like I was not enough was the sin that I did, that sinned against my body, the sin that I did or partook in, that sinned against my mind, and the sin that I released with the words that I spoken over the lives of others. I grouped it into three areas so that I could know what I needed to be on the lookout for and need to be aware. And if I failed, I needed to try again and do it better, because that is how I then worked on my fruit of the Spirit, because it was a rotten fruit that needed to be taken out of my life. But more importantly, it was the realization that if I was stuck in the cycle, 10 to 1, my parents were also stuck in a cycle. And if I don't break the cycle of the things that the enemy wants, like he wanted to trip me, he wanted to literally take me out. I didn't want my children to fight the battles of the flesh the way I fought it. And it was not good. It was not honoring God. And that thought literally, for me, it actually brought me to a standstill thinking, if you don't deal with this now, Liesl, your daughter, your son, your grandchildren, your young son will be faced with similar things. Kill that giant.
Come on.
And so that thought kind of helped me through the process. And if I failed, I try again, and I thank God for grace and thank him for allowing me to see that that was wrong so that he can flush it out, and then I start again. But you know, it's a process because we live in a sinful world.
I love that. Now, I want to ask you quickly, you know, before we jump into our next question, and I also believe it's a beautiful segue into that question, how important are boundaries with people, you know, those who will come and instigate, you know, sin, an atmosphere of sin?
I think boundaries are probably the most important thing that we need to do. If we don't have a boundary, we will never know when we've crossed it. We need to understand what is our point of no return. When it comes to conversation with guys, when it comes to sin against your body, when it comes to substance abuse, when it comes to the words that you, what is the boundary that you have? So if I have to link boundaries of your mind to your values, for example, what is the core values that you want to live for, and what does the word of God says our values needs to be? If we don't take time to actually give attention to those, it will just pass us by. And for too long, we will believe that those are not important topics, but it's important. Because if we know, we are better equipped to actually see it when it happens and know where it needs to stop before it actually becomes a problem.
I love that. Now, to wrap it all up, what advice would you offer someone who is currently finding themselves, you know, in a cycle? How does one, you know, break out of that cycle?
You break out. Break the silence of sin and its hold. You need to break the silence of sin and its hold. Why? Because, you know, bring it to light. If we keep that cycle in the dark, it will continue like it did before. I'm not saying everybody needs to write a book like Beautifully Flawed and, you know, tell the story to the world, but find someone that you trust, somebody that you have a relationship, someone that is spiritually sharp, you know, and you share with that person the stuff that has been holding you back, so that that person can become your accountability partner and pray with you. And then you also watch and see that the person's respect for you does not go out of their eyes when you share the story. Sometimes we need to experience that. So because I think we need to recognize, if you keep silent, you become a slave to sin. Mm-hmm. And if you're a slave to sin, it means that you don't really truly live your life the way God wants you to live.
Yeah.
You know, and I think more importantly for me is that if you want evidence, you just need to look at my life. That
sure.
One example. Mm. Look at my life and see what the Lord has done. And I'll talk about the stuff that the enemy tried to trap me with and take my life away with. And now, because I don't want others to make the same mistakes.
Yeah.
And then if I can just maybe mention, I think it's about 7 points that I want to mention to anybody that is caught in the cycle of sin. It starts with the deep desire.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a deep desire to break that cycle, anyone, queen, young man, anybody who's listening now,
yeah.
if you have a deep desire to break the cycle of sin, you are halfway
there.
Sure. Okay, that's a deep desire because it means that your spirit man is alive and yearning for everything that the Lord has given to you. Mm-hmm. And then you must also know that you are not alone. You are not alone after you've repented. Know that you are not alone because God is with you. And whenever you're faced with a situation where you need to make a decision, know that God is right in the room with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that He gives you the authority to rebuke that devil that wants to trample you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then immerse yourself in God's word.
Sure.
I cannot stress this enough. We cannot grow our spirit man if we don't spend time in the Lord's word.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we have testimonies, but God's word is the medicine that heals the ailment and the sick of the past. And sin is like a disease. It's a chronic disease that only God's word can heal. And then once you've read God's word, practice the truths that you've read in His word.
Mm-hmm.
You need to practice it. And when you fail, not if you fail, because the thing is this, it's a when situation. It's not if the enemy is going to try every time. When you fail, know that, thank the Lord, you've given me grace. Lord, I don't want to do again. What do I need to do in order to not fall into the same traps again? And then if you feel that you're constantly making the same mistake over and over again, get yourself an accountability partner. And then in closing, before we go over to the comments and the listeners out there, I think for me is this dry stage in your life, queen, brother, sister, whoever's listening, is just another form of a wilderness, if I can put it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And a wilderness, if you think of it, is just a place between a promise and a delivery.
Come on.
Can I say it again?
That
was so great. Your wilderness is just a place between a promise and a delivery. So in order for us to take delivery of what God has promised us, we need to push through. God has already given us the promise, but the enemy wants to rob us of that. And that thought alone, together with everything else, you know, knowing that God is with us all the time and thinking of Him there, seeing you doing what you have been caught in the whole time, changes things because it makes it more personal.
Yeah.
And know that He can, because He is able. He's always been able. He was able. He will forever be able.
Mm-hmm.
He can do for you what He's done for me.
Yeah, sure. Amen to that. Nigel is saying she's powerful. I know, Nigel.
Thank you, Lord.
Natasha is saying, good morning. Thank God for the life-saving testimony.
Oh,
God bless. She said again, Natalie, thank you, Liesl, for sharing removing the layers of sin. So powerful and a lot to think about. Stay blessed. Natalie, and she was requesting your number there as well, which we will give at the end of it all. Miss K, the fabulous Miss K, saying, wow, this is something I personally needed. I felt like the spirit led me to tune in earlier today, and there was a reason for it, just to listen to this. I needed this, honestly. Thank you for this talk.
Thank you, Lord.
And then we have another one by Esther. It says, reality check. She says that Christianity is a life of champions. We're not of them that fail. No matter what happens in your life, failure isn't a possibility until and unless you let it. Right?
Yeah, I like that.
As long as you can choose to win, as long as you choose to succeed, as long as you choose victory.
Victory, yeah.
That's what you'll have.
Mm.
What you need is to set your focus on the Lord and His internal word. Learn to see God and God alone.
Mm.
See the invisible and you'll do the impossible.
I love that.
When your focus is on Him and His word, you don't see shadows. You see and hear Him only, and nothing else matters.
Wow.
Sure.
Wow.
I love that.
Mm.
I really, really love that. Christina saying, just a good topic. How do you help your loved ones to let them know what they are doing can harm them?
I think you just need to let them know. But it starts with relationship. I always say that if you have a relationship with a person, even those difficult conversations will land well. We need to have relationship with people in order to say the things that requires courage and not just take it in as, you know, it's okay because everybody else thinks that it's okay. So just say it and say it with love.
Say it with love.
Yes. Say it, I'm not going to look at you differently, but this is definitely harming you or your body.
I love that. And now to get back to Nigel, how can people get a hold of you?
So I am, we're going to give the number and the email address. Either one will do. I will respond in between meetings. The response is definitely not immediately. Just let me put it out there. My number is, business number is 083-226-8992. Or you can email me at Liezel, that's L-I-E-Z-E-L, at kinsukuroi-consulting.com. Kinsukuroi is spelled kinsukuroi-consulting.com. Or just connect, leave it yours.
Connect, do it all.
connect with me on social media, either at Liezel Snyman or at Kinsukuroi Consulting, which is on both social, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn.
Right, fantastic. A number ending in 2704 says, I think God led me here. This was for me. It's just the beginning for me now.
I like it. It's the beginning for something new. Yeah. Fantastic, HFM.
And Malvina Akamis is saying, wow, praise God for this talk. Thank you, my queen, for allowing God to use you to the restoration of others. And lastly, there's one that came through. It says, hi, CCFM. Wow, thank you, Liezel, for that beautiful topic. And she requested for a particular song. My sis, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, it glory is our be time to God.
For today. I have to love and leave you. But thank you so much for today. It was needed, much needed, and I believe and I hope that, as the other person mentioned, that the beginning is now. I hope that, you know, will resonate with a lot of people.
Amen. I believe that, and I receive it. The word of the Lord has gone out, that whatever shackles kept you in the cycles has been broken because God has said it.
Amen.
And it's done. Amen.
It's done. It's 11:48. I'll be saying goodbye in just a bit, and also playing you Jonathan McReynolds with Cycle just after this.